This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host again for the full 2 hours. Al is taking a break this weekend, so KER Politics will be back next weekend, but this weekend we get 2 full hours of economic and investing commentary. The first hour focused more on broad markets and, quite frankly, some of the news and central bank events that we have ahead of us for next week, which will be a very busy week. The second hour focused more on resources with one company update. I am kicking off the show with Axel Merck. He is with Merck Investments. Axel, I want to revisit an article that you sent out just a couple days ago that essentially talks about you thinking that the markets are underpricing rate hike expectations. Let's just start there. Why do you feel that way?
Well, sure. And first of all, as far as the next week is concerned, the current market is currently pricing in 100% chance of a rate hike. So there's no underpricing, so to speak, when it comes to next week. But I'm thinking more about the next 18 months or so. So by the end of this year, the end of next week, you know, you often hear, but oh, there are going to be 3 hikes, 4 hikes, and so forth. What I'm focusing on is the inflationary pressures that are building. We now have more job openings than jobless people. Not that there's a perfect match for that, but that's one of the many indications. Many people are job hopping. That's another sign that that people usually only hop a job to another job if you get more money. And then, very importantly, we have this economic stimulus on top of an economy that's running reasonably well. So all those are pointing towards potentially more rate hikes. And then at the other end of the spectrum, of course, people remember that in early 2016, we had the markets plunge and then the Federal Reserve kind of panicked. I put words into their mouth. They probably wouldn't characterize it that way. But rate hike expectations plummeted. And similarly, recently when the Italian bonds had a little hiatus, people thought, oh my God, the Fed is not going to hike anymore. And the thing is, unless that banks will tighten the purse and will not provide credit anymore, there is no reason for the Fed to do anything else than they have been doing differently. And right now the banks are actually easing lending standards. And because that's very typical for the late stages of an economic advance cycle here, that they want to participate in the boom, and so they're writing more loans. And that's exactly why the Fed has to hike rates to tame it in. I'm just thinking they're going to do it longer than people expect. And then, of course, then they're going to overdo it, and the markets are going to plunge, or the rates are going to come back down. But for the time being, it's going to go much more higher than expected, I would think.
Hey, Axel, I completely agree with you, because you even look at some of the other economic data that we're getting out of the U.S. And yes, I understand some of the data out of Europe has been weaker, but I still don't think it's anywhere near weak enough to make the Fed switch course. But some of the data, especially the inflation data, even if the Fed hikes this, well, next week, which is guaranteed in my eyes, they're still technically behind the curve. So they have even more room to continue hiking. You want to address this comment?
Well, sure. And being quote unquote behind the curve, you can put many words into that, meanings into that. The fact is here that we are pricing in until the next, for the total of this year and next year, we're pricing in about 4.5 rate hikes. We've had one of them. So 3.5 until the end of next year. We're going to have a Trumpian trade catastrophe for that to happen, and I'm not convinced that that's going to happen. And I put, for the time being, I think he's playing games, as he has pretty much admitted himself. So I don't really think that the global economy is going to come to a halt. And which means I happen to think that 4 rate hikes this year are perfectly plausible. And by the way, last year was the first year, 2017 was the first year since 2006 that the Federal Reserve hiked more than the market had priced in at the beginning of the year. So for many years, the market did less than the Fed did less than the market had priced in. Last year, the first time they did more. I think this year is going to be one of those years as well. And next year, quite likely, at least for the first half of the year. And so I can see 4 rate hikes this year, including the one we already had, the one we're going to get next week. And I can see several rate hikes next year. Obviously, I'll revise my update as it goes along, but for the time being, the Fed has to tighten when inflationary pressures go up. And some people say, oh my God, but the stock's going to plunge then. Well, that's quite likely, but the fact that stocks are plunging in itself is not going to get the Fed to change course. People believe that because that had been the modus operandi for so many years after the financial crisis, and that is because the level of the S&P pretty much was a pure indicator of whether the system was well greased, whether it was well oiled. We hadn't decoupled from that, and part of it is because of QE, because the Fed started buying bonds, came to the rescue whenever there was a sign of trouble. And as of about half a year ago, those correlations have broken down. I've referred to it, I think even on your program, as a washing machine, that you can't rely on those sort of correlations anymore.
And the fact of the matter is, the Fed has even said that they are okay with the markets going through a bit of a correction. And that is what the markets have even done a little bit this year. Let's get back to the markets not being so dependent on easy money, because the Fed is continuing to take that easy money away. But Axel, you made a point in this article that you sent out as to how people can profit from this imbalance that you think we're seeing in the markets. I know some of our audience will disagree with us and say there's no way the Fed is going to keep on this pace. They are going to reverse course sooner rather than later. But the fact of the matter is they have been keeping on this pace now for well over a year. I think it's going to continue. For the people that agree with us, how can you take advantage of this disconnect?
Well, part of what I write is there is more to the market than buying some stocks and buying some bonds. The other things you can do, obviously on your program, you often talk about gold, and let me just mention that because that's something people can wrap their head around. Some people say, hey, should gold be able to perform well when rates go up? Partly it depends on whether the Fed is quote-unquote behind the curve, meaning whether real rates are going up, and I just indicated I think inflation is going to move higher, so I don't think that's necessarily the case. Also, keep in mind that the price of gold tends to do well when volatility goes up. That's because when volatility goes up, future cash flows get discounted more. The present value of companies gets less because they have a cash flow. Well, gold doesn't have a cash flow, and while some people dislike gold because of that, well, when volatility goes up, gold may actually be a good diversifier because it doesn't have that cash flow. And that's, in my view, one of the reasons why the price of gold has gone up in every bear market, equity bear market, since 1970, with a big exception, a notable exception, when Volcker raised interest rates quite substantially in the early 80s.
So, Axel, one more comment before we wrap this up. We've talked a lot here about U.S. interest rates, but, and you even mentioned it, Italy has been all over the news and what rates have done there, just skyrocketing higher. We are going to hear from Draghi, the ECB head, coming on Thursday of next week. Do you expect any notable actions coming out of the ECB?
Well, there have been various rumors out of what's going to happen. Draghi is always up for a surprise. Ultimately, I think what's going to happen in the medium term is that he's going to hike rates and then say, hey, but I can still do whatever it takes and take in those spreads, that higher bond yields in Italy. That's currently not the plan. Currently, the plan is to let QE run out by the end of the year, most likely, and then raise rates. That remains to be seen. But one comment I'd like to make about Italy is, and one of the reasons why the Fed is not going to change course because of that, because as important as Italy may be in a worst-case scenario, and just in a mediocre-case scenario, the U.S. isn't really affected by that. And also, one of the things that happened in Italy, and one of the reasons the shockwaves were limited, is the wrong people were holding those securities. It was yield chasers that thought that stuff was safe, and then they realized, oh my God, Italian bonds aren't safe, and they ran for the hills. Well, when somebody sells, somebody else needs to buy. And so the buyers are risk-friendly investors of Italian bonds, and they can bear that risk. And that is a much healthier environment. What's unhealthy is when central banks are distorting prices, and now that the cat is off the back, that the stuff is risky, that's a very good starting point. That doesn't mean things are going to go well or poorly in Italy, but it means that it's going to be more orderly going forward.
All right, Axel, it's always great having you on the show. I greatly appreciate all of your comments and your continued commentary. Everybody stick around. I am going to be right back with Dana Lyons.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed my conversation with Axel Merck to kick off the show. In this segment, I am chatting with Dana Lyons. Dana is a fund manager based out of Chicago, comes on our show regularly, and provides us with a few different looks at markets that are moving and that, you know, sometimes could consider to move or continue to move. And Dana, we do need to look back at the U.S. equity markets and the sectors that continue to rally. Those are small caps and tech. Do you think they still have some legs to go further?
Thanks, Corey. I don't see why not. There are no signs yet that would suggest that the run is necessarily over. I will say in the small cap space, we're hitting some extensions above the former highs that would suggest maybe a pause here. And as we're talking, maybe that those extensions are kicking in and we are pulling back or due for at least some consolidation, a pause, perhaps a breather there in the small cap space. But as far as the end game, there's nothing there yet to suggest that that move is over. And quite the contrary, as you suggested, some of the technology and growth areas of the market are setting up for potentially further breakouts, and which certainly could open the door to another, you know, material upleg in the market, at least in that area of the market. Even, you know, as we've talked about in the past, that our expectations are not that optimistic in the long term here for the market. But, you know, in the short term, we continue to see signs of that rotation that have been, you know, in place in the market over the last few years. Just when you think, you know, the bull's ready to roll over and die, you know, another area of the market steps up in that leadership role, and we continue to see that. So, as you said, bull markets especially can last a lot longer than you think they will. So we don't see any reason yet to give up hope.
Now, you mentioned a key word there, and that is rotation, something that you and I have talked about, but I think needs to be readdressed, and that's the fact that there was a lot of liquidity created over the past, well, 8-9 years, and a lot of that liquidity landed in the markets. Recently, we have seen a bit more selective rotation within the markets, though. Not a whole lot of money flooding the markets, just rotating from sector to sector. What do you think changes that overall picture?
Well, you know, following prices for one, you know, it's no secret that, you know, money's going to chase wherever prices are moving, you know, favorably. So as soon as the bull market, so to speak, or the advance ceases, we see prices start moving lower and people coming under pressure, then that's going to pull the rug out from under this wave of money that keeps chasing it. So it's not that it's a simple concept. It's not always simple in practice, but it's a simple concept. You know, people are going to chase after prices that are moving higher. You know, it's the reason why, you know, people dump the most money out of the market at the bottom and they pump the most in at the top, because, you know, they're enticed by the rising prices, and it's the same no matter what market you're talking about. So as you mentioned, we still have enough money chasing after some areas of the market, and that's just a testimony to the fact that prices are still moving in the right direction, and we still have some setups that, you know, in our view, warrant money being put into the market in select areas.
Now, do you think this overall risk-on attitude that we have seen recently in terms of, yes, small caps and tech leading the way, but also the S&P and the Dow rising, not breaking out to new highs, but they have been in general uptrends, and let's say treasuries, some of the safer havens, and even gold, they've just been moving sideways. Do you think that the overall trend of a more risk-on attitude is going to continue?
It is maybe in a more selective manner, as you suggested. You know, we're not seeing the large caps. We're not seeing the S&P and the Dow. They've had a decent week, but they're certainly well below their former highs still. So we're seeing perhaps more selective risk on in some ways. You know, we've seen a number of areas actually break down to some extent, you know, consumer staples and utilities and some other areas that are not bouncing back so strongly. So we're not, I guess, from a broad market perspective, we're not as fundamentally set up as strongly as we've been over the last couple of years. But that's what happens as bull markets age. You know, you begin to lose a few pegs, a few support beams here and there, and then eventually you're susceptible to a significant washout or decline. I don't think we're there yet, but it is getting a little bit more selective as you look at some of the measurements of stock participation. Yes, the Russell 2000, the small caps, some of the broad market measures are doing well, but you look at the percentage of stocks really participating in, say, the large cap advance, it's getting weaker and weaker as the advance continues. So it's getting a little bit more selective, but, you know, no sign of necessarily risk off yet, just a little bit less risk on, perhaps.
I find it interesting to hear what you're saying about how the charts, especially for small caps and tech, still look very positive, but in no way are you, or at least coming off, overly bullish. There is still kind of this nagging thought, isn't there, that this recovery has gone on for so long, and this year has already been way more volatile than last year, that maybe there are some things kind of percolating in the background that really make you want to and have to be an active manager of your money right now.
You said the buzzword in our view, which is background. So I think we've talked about in the past about some of our background. We call them background indicators. They're measurements of sentiment and the amount of money invested in the market on the part of households and investors, and as well as certain valuation metrics. So based on those background measures, risk is significantly higher than it's been in a long time. You know, it's only been, the background risk has only been equaled to this extent a couple times in the history of the market. So from a background standpoint, a long-term standpoint, risk is substantial, and we are in no way, you know, overly optimistic on the long-term prospects for the U.S. market. But in terms of practical application, that background risk can remain latent for some time, even as prices move higher in the short term and the intermediate term.
All right, Dana, great comments as always. I think it's important to sometimes understand that markets can move up in a direction even when some stuff is happening in the background. You're almost waiting for that perfect storm for when it actually does matter and the markets truly do correct. But right now, that risk-on attitude is prevalent and continuing for the markets. Dana, appreciate your time this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend, my friend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests.
Wherever you are, I will find you.
Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, I am chatting with Jesse Felder. And Jesse, we're going to continue to focus on kind of broader macro macro kind of data and markets, and talk about the inflation narrative. We talk about inflation a lot, and there's a lot to consider when you look at inflation data, especially when it comes from the Fed, because it continues to creep up to their 2% target level. But underneath, behind the scenes, there are a number of moving parts. What, first and foremost, are you paying the most attention to when it comes to this ongoing inflation debate? Is inflation going to pick up and get out of hand to the upside, or are we going to turn into a deflationary environment?
Yeah, I'm just paying attention to what companies and, you know, what employers are saying. Mainly, I think that's, you know, I think it's already obvious that inflation is already picking up to problematic levels. And so, you know, you could debate why that's not showing up in the numbers. I listened to an interview with Grant Williams did with Felix Zuloff recently, and, you know, Felix pointed out that if you calculate inflation the same way we did back in the 70s and 80s, you know, it's actually, CPI is running at 10% currently. And so I said, can that possibly be? I went back and I looked and I found a site, I think it's called shadowstats.com, and they use the same exact measurements, the pre-1980 measurements, then we're running CPIs over 10%. If you use the pre-1990 measurements, CPI is at 6% currently. And so it's a matter of calculation. But then also, you look at something like average hourly earnings, and people say, well, that's really not taking off to the upside yet. And there's also some problems with the way that's calculated. But also, a big part of that is you just have a bunch of baby boomers retiring. And, you know, say a guy's making $150,000 a year and retires, and then they, you know, slot a millennial into that job. Well, that millennial's going to get a great boost, you know, in pay, but it's nowhere near the $150,000 that his predecessor was making. So, you know, I think we're seeing, you know, big-time wage gains if you looked at them as, you know, like one person. What is this one person's wages doing? I saw an article today, in the oil patch and the shale markets. This is a Bloomberg headline. Shale countries out of workers and dangling 100% pay hikes. So people are literally, you know, going from working in restaurants, retail, whatever. Okay, great. I'll go work for shale and I'll make twice as much money. Another article I saw is a plumber, a guy who owns a large plumbing company in Denver, 120 employees, says this is the most difficult labor market he's ever seen in running a plumbing business like this. He's offering his plumbers Hawaiian vacations, you know, like the type of perks you see in Silicon Valley. They show, you know, these guys drinking craft beer and playing ping pong in a lounge that he's created for these plumbers. So it's just the labor market is extremely tight. It's the first time in history, in the recorded data, that we've seen job openings greater than the number of people not in the labor force that are actually looking for jobs. And so the labor market is extremely tight. We're seeing wage inflation already. So to say that we're not, that inflation's under control, is I just don't know what people are thinking.
So, Jesse, what about the companies also saying that they're trying to resist to pay workers more to entice them to either stay on or come to work for them because they don't necessarily have the confidence that the economy is going to keep picking up and that they're going to be able to pass those costs on to consumers?
Well, that is a big question right now, too, is our companies going to be able to pass those costs on? I think that's going to be tough. You know, a big trend, you look at profit margins, corporate profit margins are, you know, are at or near record highs. And it was interesting, you know, Warren Buffett back in 1999, 2000 said for profit, you know, profits as a percent of GDP to stay at this level, though we're in 99, 2000, for any extended period, you'd have to be crazy. You'd have to expect that labor would be comfortable with getting a smaller share of profits than they have been in history. And that's actually happened. Corporations have been able, Buffett was dead wrong. The last 18 years, corporations have been able to take a bigger slice of the pie than they have ever before and been able to sustain that. And I think a lot of that is just related to demographics and a huge supply of labor that came on from the baby boomers and globalization. You had a huge, you know, increase in cheap labor that limits their ability to negotiate and their bargaining power. But now that the baby boomer's retiring and globalization has essentially run its course, and now we're even seeing, you know, protectionist measures kind of being discussed, if not implemented, corporations' ability to keep that bigger slice of the pie is going to come under pressure. And so I do think corporations, you know, will be forced. They're already raising wages. They have to in order to just hang on to. You look at the quits rate. The quits rate is soaring. That's just people feeling really comfortable saying, all right, you don't want to give me a raise, I'm out of here. I'm going to go work for the oil patch or, you know, these other, maybe become a plumber. Who knows? So I think they're not probably going to be able to sustain profit margins because a lot of this is not just inflationary tendencies that they'll be able to pass on, but it's labor reasserting or regaining some bargaining power.
Now, Jesse, you pointed out a fascinating stat that I heard earlier today, too, and that is the number of job openings exceed the number of people that are out there, technically unemployed, that are looking for work. Does this scream kind of late cycle data to you, though?
I think there's a couple things with the inflation. There's cyclical and secular forces, and I think A lot of it is cyclical. We're just seeing, you know, the unemployment rate. We started with such a high unemployment rate. That's what's driven the economy over the last 10 years, is that coming down and more people getting jobs and that being good for the economy. And at a 3.8% unemployment rate, we have to be getting very close to the tail end of that. And, you know, so I do think some of it is cyclical, but I think there's also these longer term demographic forces and globalization forces, which probably will allow labor to regain some of the I guess, you know, expand their slice of the pie.
So what does that mean for the overall investing community or financial markets? Because we have seen the U.S. equity markets actually show some strength. Small caps are leading. Tech stocks are leading. As we're recording this, the S&P is close to its March highs. Does this mean that we should expect to see U.S. markets continue to increase, or is there something else that you're looking for?
Well, I mean, these things, I think, are... Well, I mean, we can talk about it on two different time frames. I think longer term, this labor regaining share of you know, gross domestic income is not good for corporate America. You know, everybody's kind of excited about this winner take all economy that's, you know, especially benefited Silicon Valley companies. Longer term, if that trend is now reversing, then you know, that's not going to be good for corporate profit margins. And you know, I think you could make a case that valuation are going to mean revert over the next 10 years. That'll be likely. And then profit margins, if they also mean revert. And Jeremy Grantham called the most mean reverting series in finance. If they both mean revert at the same time, it means prices, stock prices are going to be lower 10 years from now than they are today. But in terms of the short term, I think this inflation bump is really going to put the Fed in a bind. I think you know, we have the Fed meeting coming up next week, and I think they're going to be forced to, with the, you know, the stuff, the tax cut and the stuff that's gone on the fiscal side, it's really kind of starting to tie their hands, because it's, that's what's creating, I think, or exacerbating these inflationary forces. And so the Fed, you know, wants to not have to unwind, you know, the things that they've done to try and create a wealth effect too quickly and hurt the economy. But at the same time, now they might have to be forced to fight inflation. So it'll be interesting to see. It sounds like, you know, lately, you know, Powell and company have been talking about allowing inflation to heat up and you know, that sort of thing. But I'm frankly surprised right now that the talk about the Fed being behind the curve is not already becoming a more popular narrative.
All right, Jesse. Always great chatting with you. I do enjoy visiting your site on a regular basis. Jesse, great chatting with you this weekend. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. You too, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S., the Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber, go to theultimateknife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own, and only available at theultimateknife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at theultimateknife.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Water
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter. And if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am wrapping up this first hour with Chris Martinson, co-founder, co-editor of PeakProsperity.com. And Chris, continuing the trend in this first hour of looking at broader markets, we're going to now kind of jump around the world and look at the tensions that are still around, or I guess the red flags that are still very prevalent around the world. First and foremost, let's talk about Italy. Their bond market has been in some serious turmoil with yields spiking over the last couple weeks. Seems to have slowed a little bit, but the fact of the matter is the move that we have seen, I think you can say, has been historic. This has now put the overall question mark and worry back into the EU and more specifically the euro. Take us through your recap of what's gone on in Italy and how that is impacting the euro.
Well, sure. There's two terms we have to be familiar with. One is insolvency and the second is bankruptcy. Now, bankruptcy is the legal proceeding that happens at the tail end, and it's an actual legal definition. But insolvency is a condition where your liabilities exceed your assets. Listen, Italy is insolvent. Its banking structure is insolvent. Nobody's quite known what to do about that. The entire European Central Bank, the ECB strategy, has been, if we just buy up a bunch of stuff and drive it, borrowing costs way down, good things will happen. That is, there'll be a resumption of economic growth that will sort of make all of this make sense. And of course, that didn't happen because when the ECB, the Federal Reserve, the other central banks were busy saving the world and doing God's work by throwing money into the markets, they threw it actually preferentially into the banking system and the players who are most well connected. So what they didn't get was rapid economic growth. What they did get was an explosive mix of a wealth and an income gap that went very, very heavily skewed to the top end. And that's created all sorts of political troubles that are now cropping up. I don't think you can look at Italy, and I know the media, Corey, does a great job trying to pretend it's like, oh, there's it's bigotry and racism. That's not it. These are people who have been economically squeezed for a long time. There's no economic oxygen left for the 99% on down. It's all been taken by the elites, and the same elites that own the newspapers and the media outlets and the ruling political parties that are busy trying to convince us that this is just a bunch of malcontents with racist tendencies. It's not it. So what's happening in Italy is really a continuation of the Trump vote, the Brexit vote, all that stuff that happened in Greece before they fumbled and decided to knuckle under to Europe. But Italy is completely insolvent, and nobody quite knows what to do about that yet, and that's what's trying to get resolved right now.
They are trying to resolve it, but to me it doesn't look like anything's going to be settled anytime soon, and quite frankly, I think that the worries could get even worse there in Italy, but hey, something we're going to need to follow along with. Let's also talk about the emerging markets. In the face of this recent dollar rally, which has slowed down now, emerging markets get hit, but considering where the dollar is, still right around 93 and change on the dollar index, emerging markets have really taken it on the chin. How big of a concern is this moving forward?
Well, it's a very big concern, of course. It was large enough that the IMF, which, by the way, will step into a country under certain circumstances, and those circumstances are if the banks that the IMF has as their major clientele are in danger of any losses. So the IMF will step in and you know, write some loans. Argentina, clearly in huge difficulty. It's following the classic emerging market contagion sort of pathway, which would be first we're going to notice that their currency starts to drop, then we're going to start to see their yield spike, and then their equity markets are going to follow. They've done that 1, 2, 3, boom, 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 and it's gotten to the point where the IMF stepped in and said, hey, here's a $50 billion line of credit that you can use, and that was supposed to really be that's a pretty substantial amount. That was supposed to be sort of a fix-it amount. It lasted about 12 hours in the markets, and as we're speaking, the Argentinian peso has just broken through the 25 to the dollar zone, and it's falling very rapidly. So it looks like what the IMF was trying to do was head off this contagion, because, of course, if Argentina falls, good chance Brazil falls. If they fall, Turkey's next in line, you know, on and on and on, and they're trying to stem that. The problem is that $50 billion is chump change in the larger sea of liquidity that the central banks have put out, which is, what, $15 trillion excess dollars printed in the last decade and tossed into the markets? It's going to be when that, you know, tsunami reverses course and is no longer flooding inland and decides to go back out to the ocean, you know, I really think the IMF is basically just like one person clinging to a palm tree with their hand out. It's not enough.
Scary to think about what could happen if a lot of that money that was created, and you're right, just simply dumped into the market, does start to switch course. How crucial is it going to be coming up to next week hearing what the ECB has to say? We've consistently heard from Draghi a whole lot of, let's say, general comments, no certain timelines. He's been very wishy-washy. The expectations are that he might say a bit more in his meeting and statement that we will get on Thursday. Do you think we will?
You know, my view is that whatever they say, it's irrelevant, because the markets are now going to be dictating what they do, as has been true for a long time. So they could come out next week and say, hard stop, no more QE. If the markets really respond badly to that, they'll reverse course in hours if they have to. But here's the difficulty, Corey. This is what you and I have been talking about for a couple of years now, is that once you've gotten yourself painted into this particular corner that the central banks have gotten themselves into, there's no painless way out. There is no easy sort of way. The only question that gets resolved at the end of a credit cycle is this one: who's going to eat the losses? It's that simple, right? So we're already seeing people in Illinois, the taxpayers, being asked to eat the losses. You know, the Federal Reserve and that regional district said, yeah, let's put a special 1%, 1%, 100 basis point extra tax on real estate. That'll help solve this. Or, you know, the people of Greece in their first full decade, their 10 years at a 25% decline in GDP, full austerity. That's not working. On and on. So really, you know, this is something that we shouldn't have gotten to this point. We're here. So I think the only question to be resolved is, who is going to eat the losses?
Well, Chris, I have to say, I don't want to eat the losses, and I think a lot of our listeners don't want to, and neither do you. Exactly. So what do we do to try to protect ourselves? Is there anything we can do?
You know, it's gotten really complex, of course, and so my particular collection of things that I've done is to get myself into real assets to guard against, you know, the inevitable currency decline, to make sure I'm not completely exposed to somebody else's liabilities, which means I'm not banking with the really big banks who are, you know, way upside down on their derivative exposures. And understanding that you've got to use this system as it exists as best you possibly can. This includes being really aware of tax laws and how they work for and against you, and making sure you're managing those as best you can. And huge gains to be had there, making sure that you've protected yourself as best you can with various corporate structures, LLCs, trusts, things like that. So it really takes a lot of work, but you and I both know that what happens next is that when governments get desperate, they get grabby. It happens over and over again.
Yeah, it does, unfortunately. That's always their fallback is, look at all these other people that we can just take their savings, or even if they don't have savings, push them a little bit more into debt. Let's now look kind of outside of the major central banks and Europe and even South America, and look at a recent meeting that happened between Putin and President Xi. It looks like these China-Russia relations are getting better, and I think we have a lot, or that has a lot to do with Trump consistently pushing parties away, but what does that mean in the big picture, China and Russia getting closer?
Well, this is really, you know, something that's been underway for a long time. I know you and I have talked about it for a while. It was something that's been developing with pipelines, with trade agreements, multi-tens of billions. Obviously, both countries talking about de-dollarizing, both countries with increasing friction, even military friction against the West, particularly the U.S. And so it was just yesterday, I believe, that you know, Putin was there in a really elegant, you know, giant room full of a lot of people, and President Xi's there, and he was presented with the Friendship Medal, which really caught my eye because it was carried out on this big red velvet tray by this, you know, snappily dressed guard. And it just looks like solid 24 karat gold, you know, pieces all strung together. And I'll bet you this, Corey, I bet you it's real. The way it was pulled out, it looked heavy and real, but I couldn't imagine President Xi cheaping out on gold and giving him a plated medal, like are handed out in the United States. Your Medal of Honor? That's plated. You know, so this looked real, and it's the first ever, and so this is a really big step. It's just saying that, you know, as the United States is busy trying to enforce really unpopular sort of take-it-or-leave-it sort of trade agreements with Europe, which they're chafing at badly, you know, as we're telling China they have to respect our military plowing around in the waters on their side of the earth, you know, all that stuff. China and Russia are being very pragmatic, as you might expect from their cultures, and they're busy forging deals and making friends.
They are. You're absolutely right. Hey, Chris, great chatting with you. Always great having you on the show. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Corey. Have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.